I'm actually happy just to be back to civilization. We spent this last week on what is kind of an annual tradition for me and my family of kind of going off the grid for a week or so, going camping. I say partially because I posted a picture on Facebook. But other than that, completely disconnected from the grid. And it's an awesome time. We spend every year kind of around my birthday, and I just celebrated my newest high score for most consecutive days lived. And I'm very proud of it. I hope to beat it tomorrow. I hope. But we spent a great time away, kind of camping in the dirt, so I've got cuts and scrapes and bruises all over my body from having rocks thrown at me. I won't point any fingers at any of my children, but rocks thrown at me and sticks and all kinds of cool stuff. But I'm so glad to be back to Simi Valley, back to be home. Isn't it nice to be home after you go on a vacation? Well, last week we started a brand new teaching series, a two-week teaching series called Make It Count. And it's so important for us that we make it count. And we're looking at how important it is that we use the life that God has given us for something that matters, for something that's going to count beyond our life. Because we can make an impact with our lives if we'll allow God to use it for his purpose. See, we have to take the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the years that God gives to us and use them in a way that's going to last, in a way that's going to matter. I want you to imagine that each night at midnight, you might have heard this before, but at each night at midnight, you were given $86,400. And every night, you were given that amount of dollars, and you had to spend it. And if you didn't spend it by the next day, it would go away. So imagine each morning you woke up and you had $86,400 in your bank account. Like, woohoo! Fresh money. But you had to spend it. What would you spend it on? I can see the gears spinning. Some of you guys are thinking about cars and boats and an RV. I think there's an RV thinking about somewhere in the back. So if you ever think about all these things we'd spend it on, some of you are savers and you'd start making payments. $86,000 a day towards a house or something big. But the truth is that each one of us is given 86,400 seconds every single day. We're given the same amount of time. Those who are productive don't get more. Those who are unproductive don't get less. We each get the same amount of time. And so the question is, what will we spend our time on? Because what we do matters. See, we choose to spend our time, our precious seconds and minutes and hours on things that really matter, or will we use it for things that are just frivolous? We'll just fritter them away on things that don't really matter instead of investing it in something eternally. Our key scripture this morning, if you have a Bible or you have your Bible app, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to be on the screen as well if you don't have a Bible with you. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an unperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, the Apostle Paul, the writer of this section of Scripture, he breaks it down for us. He gives us this picture of a race. I don't know how many of you guys are into that sort of stuff, but with a show of hands, how many of you enjoy running? Like, running is your thing, you enjoy it. I only saw one person crazy enough to like, oh, two people. All right. See, not me. I enjoy exercise. I enjoy, like, riding a bike or something, or swimming. But the idea of running for me is, it seems kind of weird. Like, didn't we invent robots to run for us? Like, isn't that why we invented the car? And we have horses. We have all sorts of stuff. Why would you run? See, but some people are even crazy enough, they go beyond just running. They get a machine, and they've set it in a nice room, and then they use this machine to torture themselves. They call it a treadmill, right? They just run in place. They don't go anywhere. They don't even get to see anything beautiful. They don't get to see a hillside. It's crazy. But for those who run, I know that there's a lot of preparation that goes into preparing for a race. Joe's supposed to be at a race today. It finished. Woo! Joe already went to a race and finished his race. What a great picture. See, there's a lot of preparation that goes into a race. Now, I've actually run a marathon. Well, let me take it back. I kind of walked a marathon. It was a fun marathon, but it was designed to be just a fun, like, walk-run marathon. There was people in the front that were running, and that somebody won that race. It certainly was not me. But I know, and I can tell you, and anyone who's ever been part of a marathon or a race like that will tell you, that there's a lot of preparation. You don't just show up on race day and expect to win or even finish if you haven't prepared yourself. The guys that do this and the gals that do this, they prepare for weeks and months and years, kind of getting themselves in shape, starting with a mile and then 2 miles, and then they work their way up until they're ready for this race. And to prepare for a marathon race, you've got to do that. This morning, I want to look at what it takes, a few steps that God says that it takes us to prepare us for the race that God has set before us. See, we might not be runners in the physical, only two hands raised for that, but we're all called to race in the race that God has set before us. So I want to look at a couple steps that God gives us from this passage. And the first point, if you're taking notes, is this: to run the race God has set for us, we first have to keep moving forward. I love the late Walt Disney quote. Those of you who have seen the movie Meet the Robinsons are probably familiar with this quote. I love Walt Disney. Great guy. He said this. He said, "Around here, however, we don't look backwards for very long. We keep moving forward, opening up new doors and doing new things because we're curious. And curiosity keeps leading us down new paths." And I love that. There's some wisdom that's there. And I believe he's echoing the words of the Apostle Paul in our key scripture today. See, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, "Do you not know in a race, all the runners do what? All the runners run." See, that's part of being in a race. We've all got to run. We've all got to keep moving forward, taking one step at a time. And let me just say this, because I believe that the Lord would speak this to someone here as we were in our time of worship. I feel like the Lord is speaking to somebody that sometimes when we're running, it feels like we've been pushed down. Feels like someone came out and tripped us. Would you get back up? I believe God is encouraging someone in this place. Get back up. When you feel like you've fallen down, you got to get back up and take that next step. Take that next step in the direction that God has called you to go. Because life is going to throw us down at different seasons. We're going to feel like we've tripped on something. We hit a rock that we didn't see coming. Someone put out a leg and we didn't see it. And we feel like we can't keep going. But we've got to keep moving forward. See, all runners in a race must run. Now, we may not be the fastest or the most fit or the best runner in the pack, but we have to choose to run. We've got to choose to keep moving forward in the direction that God has called us to go. See, the first step to running is, for sometimes, it's just to get back up. It's to get back up and start walking. And then as we start to get confident, as we start to get some momentum, then we can start lightly walking. We can do power walk, right? And then we can start a jog, and then we can start to sprint. See, but it doesn't matter how fast we're going, just so long as we're moving in the direction that God has called us to go. See, if we want to make our lives count for something eternally, we've got to choose to stay connected to God and walking and growing in our faith in the direction that God has for us. See, this is an area that sometimes it's even harder for those of us who have walked with God for a while. When we first come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're excited and we've got an energy. But as we walk with him for a while, we start to get tired, right? We think the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is just something that was for my past. It was for that marker in my life of when I said yes to Jesus and when he set me free from my sin. And we forget that as long as we're still here on earth, for however long it may be, short or long, that he's not done with us yet. That he's got something for us. He's got something prepared for us to do. See, I love to ask questions. Did you know that it's okay to ask questions of God? Sometimes I think we're afraid, like, to bring God our questions or our doubts or I'm wrestling with this, God. Like, we think he doesn't know, right? Like, sometimes, like, I don't want to tell God that I'm doubting this or questioning this. But I love to bring God our questions. You know, after I was first saved, I said yes to Jesus when I was in high school. I came to faith, and God saved me in a radical way. But after I came to faith, I had this question. Well, if I'm saved and my eternal destiny is secure, God, why don't you just take me home now? What is the rest of this thing supposed to be about? And of course, as I grappled with this as a young guy, God came to remind me that he's not done with me, that he has a purpose for my days. And God has a purpose for your days as well. None of us know how long we've got in this thing. It could be short or it could be long. But God has a purpose for your life. So we've got to make it count. We've got to stay in the race. We've got to keep moving forward. See, thanks to Jesus, we can come boldly before God the Father. We can enter the presence of God. And let me tell you something, friend. When you come to God, when you encounter God, when you press into him, it changes you. It'll change you forever being with God, spending time with him, pressing into him through reading his Bible, reading his words, through pressing into him, through experiencing his presence. It shapes you to become more like him, to become more like the person that he's created you to be. And that's what we're all called to do, to press into God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this. It says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are what? Are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what is he saying? He's saying that as we come to God and as we see him as he really is, as we behold his glory, that we're transformed, that it changes us. See, God wants each one of us to have an encounter with him, because when we have an encounter with God, it changes everything. It changes things that we never could have done. So where does it come from? Where does this change come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from God. How are we transformed from one degree of glory to another? What does that even mean? That sounds kind of like mystical and weird and crazy, but it's not. See, each time we press into God, we seek God, we encounter him, he begins to change us, sometimes in huge ways, sometimes little by little. See, moving forward allows God to perform giant miracles. I call those the 300-degree miracles. It's like the ice cream shop here in Simi. And this isn't a plug, by the way, but it's a cool thing. Traditionally, ice cream is made by starting with milk, or soy, if you're into that kind of thing. I'm not. They start with milk and cream and sugar and all these different ingredients, and they make their batter. And then you put it in a really cold thing, and you start to churn it. And around that bowl that you're churning it in, you put ice, maybe some salt, things to really cool it down. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, it starts to turn into some creamy milk, right? And then you take that mixture that's been churned for 20 or 30 minutes, and you put it in a freezer. And the freezer is usually about negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And it cools little by little, 1 degree at a time. It starts at 50, and then it goes to 49. And then over time, it goes to 48, then it goes to 47. And the process takes hours. My boys will tell you it takes way too long. We make ice cream like, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? No. And it takes way too long. And then there's a place that's here in town, and I've got a picture to show you, where they actually use liquid nitrogen. And they use this to cool down the ice cream. This is a place called Sub-Zero here in town, to cool down that mixture. And they take a process that would normally take 3 to 4 hours, and they do it in minutes. And it's kind of cool because there's smoke. It looks like there's fire. But it's so cold that it cools it down 300 degrees. I mean, it's super cold liquid. And it does what would take hours in just minutes. And I say that because God can do the same thing in our lives. God can take what would take a lifetime to accomplish, what would take a lifetime to heal, what would take a lifetime to restore, and he can do in a moment what would take us a lifetime to accomplish. God can do those large miracles, those giant miracles. I've seen and heard hundreds of people's stories of how God has radically transformed their lives, how they came to Jesus by faith and their addiction was gone, of women who have come to God by faith and things that were broken, things that were devastated in their hearts were healed instantly. See, we've all heard stories of people who have come to Jesus Christ and seen these large 300-degree miracles where things are instantly transformed. And that is something that God still does today. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same Jesus who healed the sick, healed the broken, healed the afflicted, is available to do that today. We believe that God is able to do those things. See, there's things, those are the sort of things that God does. Those are the sort of things, those miraculous things that only God can do. See, sometimes we get to partner with him and pray with people, but only God can do those sort of miracles. So moving forward allows God to perform those giant miracles. Moving forward also allows God to perform the tiny miracles. I call them the 1 degree miracles. The things that are sometimes a little harder to spot. And these are the areas that God begins to slowly work on our hearts as we draw near to him, as we spend time with God, as we read his word, as we allow him to speak to us through the Bible, as we join with other followers of Jesus, as we walk in community with others, that God will begin to mold and shape us little by little. And if we're not careful, he'll change us and we won't even notice it's happening because it's incremental, step by step, little by little, 1 degree by degree, that God will change us. See, 1 degree matters, right? You know, at 211 degrees Fahrenheit, water is extremely hot. Would any of you guys say, yeah, that's pretty hot? I wouldn't want to spill that on my hand. At 211 degrees, it's very hot, but at 212 degrees, it begins to boil. And boiling water creates steam, and steam has the power to move 1,000-pound locomotive down the rail. See, water that's hot is good, but 1 degree of difference makes it boil, and that makes power. And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. God will begin shaping us and molding us little by little, degree by degree, until before we notice it, hey, we've come a long way. Before we've noticed it, the water's boiling. And God has given us power to overcome those things. So God gives us power for those large things. And very often, he'll give us power in those small things, degree by degree. So to run the race that God has set for us, we've got to keep moving forward. And secondly, we've got to run with purpose. We've got to run with purpose. 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Run that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you're going to reach the finish line. Joe finished the race. Well, you watched the race get finished today. And all of us have a race that's set before us that we're called to finish. See, only one runner in a race will win. That's the truth in the natural race world, right? There's only one winner. Everyone else is not a winner. It's a nice way to say it. See, and sometimes we think that there's some sort of polemic in this case, that if you win, that I lose. That if I win, you lose. But that's not the way it is with God. God has set before each one of us a race to run, that we are called to finish and finish well and win that race. So it's not so much a matter of saying, well, if they win, then I lose. That's not the way it is with God. God has set before each one of us a race, and we've got to stay in our lane, keep moving in the direction that he's called us to go, and keep moving forward and run with purpose. See, we can forget that we're saved not just from something, not just from our brokenness and our sin, but we're saved for something. God has saved us for a purpose, and he wants us to run the race that he set before us. I need to run my race. I need to do what God has created me to do. And he set us up to win. So how do we run that race for purpose? How do we do it on purpose? How do we win the race that God has set before our body? You know, as Paul said, how do we run with aim? He says, I don't want to run aimlessly. You can look at any playground in America and see running aimlessly, just kind of, and just run around in circles. That's what the campsite looked like the last couple days. It was just sticks and rocks and running around and throwing stuff. But see, God says, I want you to run with purpose. I want you to have an aim, a focus, a direction in your life. So how do we do that? See, the truth is that every single one of us are seeking, those who are following after Jesus, we're seeking to become more and more like him. Not one of us have this thing all figured out. I don't care if you're 5 or you're 15, you're 55, you'd be 105. Not one of us has this thing all figured out. We're all still pursuing. Jesus says, come follow me. All of us are still following in his footsteps, seeking to become more and more like him. So how do we do that? Let me tell you a couple ways we don't do it. We don't become more like Jesus by trying harder. Sometimes we think, if I just try harder, I'll be more like Jesus. I'll just make myself more like Jesus. We don't do it by willing ourselves, saying, I really want to be more like Jesus. We don't do it by become more like Jesus by just doing more good works than bad stuff, right? That's not how we do it. See, we are only made more like God through God's power at work within us. It's only through the gospel. It's only through receiving his free gift of grace that changes us, that shapes us, that makes us more like him. It's only by receiving his Holy Spirit that shapes us. See, it doesn't come from trying harder or working more or gritting our teeth and saying, oh, I'm going to do better next time. That never works. We can try for a while and we can put on a good face, but it never works. That'll lead to external change without changing of our heart. And see, Jesus said, you know, what's going on in your heart? That's what's going to show up on the outside. So start first with your heart. See, the only sort of change that's really going to matter is change that God performs at the heart level, deep within. See, it's the starting line of our salvation. And at that moment, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We declare with our lips, Jesus, I've been trying to do life my way and I can't do it anymore. It's not working out. I need your help. I need your perfect, sinless life that you died in my place for my sins, that I may be set free from my sins. See, at the moment of salvation, at the starting line of salvation, we all fix our eyes on Jesus, and then somewhere along the race, we start looking at ourselves. Well, if I just do this better, then God would love me more. If I just try harder, I could do it. But in reality, that same gospel, that same good news that set us free from our sin is the same good news that grows us in our relationship. It's the same as we meditate, as we sit on it, as we soak in God's word. That's how we're transformed. See, we're each called to run the race that God has set before us with purpose and aim. The problem is, maybe you're like me and you get sick and tired of running. I do that in the physical. I don't like to run physically. But sometimes in our walk with God, we just get tired. As I said a moment ago, sometimes we get tripped up by life. Our own sin, our own brokenness, hard things that happen to us. We feel like we've fallen down and we can't get up. We need that life alert thing, right? I've fallen and I can't get up. We need those. See, and sometimes we just get tired of running. We think, I've done well. Look how far I've come, right? This is the tendency of those of us who have walked with God for a while. Say, well, look how much I've changed. Look who I was and who I am now. And we kind of rest. We find a nice park bench along the running trail. And we decide to sit down for a moment, kind of like the hare and the tortoise and the hare. We sit down and rest for a while because we're doing so well. And we allow the good things and the successes that God has done in our yesterday to prevent us from moving ahead in our today. And see, here's the truth. Sometimes our stories about what God has done in our lives, they got cobwebs on them and dust on them because they're so old. Here's what God did 20 years ago in my life. I prayed and he did this awesome thing. See, God wants to give you a fresh story of what he's doing. He wants to give you a fresh story of how he's changing your life, how he's impacting you. He wants to do those things. See, but sometimes we lose sight of those things, those 1 degree increments. We don't see big breakthrough, and so we think we're not getting anywhere. And so we stop. And instead of pursuing God, we just rest and sit back. See, the problem is that oftentimes we forget how God wants to change us. We think we have to fake it till we can make it, right? You heard that expression, just fake it till you make it. You're not doing it right, just fake it. And sometimes we get sick and tired of faking it. So we give up. We throw the towel in. We say, I'm sick of faking it. When in reality, that's not what the life that God called us to. He hasn't called us to be a fake people that just pretend that we've got it all together. See, we stop trying to pursue God. That's when he stops being able to transform us by his Spirit. When we stop pressing into him, that's when he stops his ability to be able to change us by his love and grace through the gospel. You know, it's easy for us to lose sight of that good news. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. We see past, present, and future. I'll talk about that more in the future. He said, I want to remind you. Who is he reminding? He says, brothers. He's talking to those that know Jesus, those that are walking in his ways. He's saying, I need to remind you because it's so easy to forget. It's so easy when we're going through life just to get distracted and to forget about those things. What do they have to be reminded of? The gospel, the good news that they're not saved by their own works. See, it's easy to receive that at the moment of salvation. And then as we get into our race, start thinking, it's all about me. It's all about my works and what I've got to do for God. When in reality, God still wants to shape us. He still wants to grow us up through the gospel. We have to be reminded that we aren't saved by our good works or made more like Jesus by what we do. We're only made more like him through the gospel, through his good news of what he's done in our place. And all we have to do is receive it. Press into God. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the scriptures say, the author and what? Perfecter of our faith. He's the one who shapes us. He's the one who molds us. See, legalism says, God will love me if I just change. But the gospel says that God will change us because he loves us. See, so very often we think, God, I know you'll love me more if I change. And we forget the gospel, that he loves us so much that he changes us. That he changes us because he loves us. See, we don't change us. Only the Spirit of God can change us in a way that matters, in a way that sticks. He's the one that works about transformation in our lives. He's the one that brings life to those dead areas in our hearts. He's the only one that can bring life. See, our only action is drawing near to God. It's coming close to him and saying, God, I need you. Sometimes we got to drag ourselves to God. Sometimes we need a friend to carry us to God. As we see over and over in the Gospels, people being carried to Jesus. Sometimes we need that. We need a friend that can drag us back and say, hey, you need to go see Jesus because he wants to heal you. See, because it's only when we come to God's presence, and his presence is everywhere, but it's only when we will draw near to God that he can change us from that inside out. See, he's the one that does his work within us. Sometimes it's in 300-degree increments. And he radically changes an area. He radically heals an area. He radically delivers us from a sin or a brokenness or something that we've been struggling with for a lifetime. And sometimes it's in those 1-degree increments. Little by little. Bit by bit. Step by step. As we step closer and closer to Jesus, he changes us. Our job is simple. We fix our eyes on Jesus and walk in the way that he's called us to walk. In September, we're going to be looking at some practical habits for life and some other practical steps on how we can develop those steps. But before we even get there, it's important that we know this. We don't fix us. Only God can fix us. He's the only one that can transform our hearts. He's the only one that can give us the energy. Some of us are just tired. We've been running a long time. Life has beat us down. And God wants to give us the power. He wants to give us the strength, the energy to finish the race that he set before us. But we've just got to ask him, God, I need some strength to take this next step. And then I need to take that next step. And I want to walk, not aimlessly, but I want to walk with purpose in the direction you've called me to be. See, oftentimes we think making our life count means we've got to do some big, giant thing for God. We've got to build a monument or a building or do an awesome miracle. Very often, we think that we have to prove ourselves to earn God's love, when in reality, making our lives count simply means walking in the direction that he's asked us to walk and finishing the race well. Not stopping along the way and giving up, not running out of steam, but finishing the race that he set before us. See, the gospel means that I don't have to do it in my own strength, but God wants to help me with the race that he set before me. And he wants to help you with the race he set before you. And it begins by simply saying, Jesus, I need your help. Same way we start our faith is the same way we grow in our faith. It's by coming to God through faith in Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want to be changed by you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Let me ask you, what was God speaking to you about this morning? As we talked about making it count and running our race, what was God speaking to you about today? For some of you, I believe God was encouraging you to keep moving forward. Maybe life has knocked you down on your face. Maybe you've gotten tired from the journey. But God was encouraging you to keep moving forward, to get back up and take that next step. It could be that you blew it, that you made a mistake, that you fell. And you missed it so badly you don't feel like you can keep running. Maybe you spotted one of those park benches and it was just easier to sit than it is to move forward. But I believe God is asking us to take that next step. If that's you right where you are, you can pray something like this. Father, I thank you that you first loved me, that you didn't wait for me to have it all figured out. You didn't wait for me to do something first to love me, but you loved me first and made a way for me to be right with you through Jesus. I thank you for creating me with purpose. God, I ask you to help me get back in the race, to help me take that next step, whatever that is in my life. Help me to be a person that keeps moving forward day by day, inch by inch, moment by moment, to be all that you've created me to be. Help me to move forward in every area of my life, that I might be more like your son, Jesus. More today than I was yesterday. More tomorrow than I was today. Degree by degree or greater. Help me, Lord Jesus. For others of you, God is encouraging you to run your race with purpose. See, life is a funny way of distracting us. We can get distracted by the things that are going on around us and forget that God not only saved us from something, but he saved us for something. We can lose the aim of our faith. I believe God has called some of us to return to the gospel, to be reminded that he's the one who makes us more like his son, Jesus. If that's you, right where you're at, you can pray something like this in your heart. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die, not only for my sins, but for my good works, for the things I try and do apart from you. I believe that you are the way, that you are the truth, that you are the life, that I am both saved and made more like you through what you did on the cross, Jesus. I thank you that you love me not because I changed, but you changed me because you love me. Help me to fix my eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. Change me in 300 degree increments or 1 degree increments. Change me day by day to be more like you. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed across this place, I want to make an opportunity for those of you who've you come here and you've never taken that first step of faith and receiving Jesus' free gift of grace. You've never received God's radical love for you. If that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I want to respond. I want you to respond. I want to pray with you. So if you haven't been walking with Jesus, you say, I want to receive his gift of forgiveness. I want to say yes to the gospel. If that's you, I want to pray with you. With every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and lift up your eyes so I can agree with you in prayer? Church, can we repeat this prayer aloud? Say after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
You've said all I have to do.
You've said all I have to do.
Is come to you with faith.
Is come to you with faith.
And you would hear me.
You would hear me.
So as best as I know how.
As best as I know how.
I come to you now.
I come to you now.
And I ask you to forgive my sins.
I ask you to forgive my sins.
Help me to change my life.
Help me to change my life.
Through your power and grace. And secure for me everlasting life. I turn my life over to you. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me just tell you, we're going to have prayer teams available in a few moments after our last song and actually during our next song. If you need prayer, God was whispering to your heart about something you want to agree with someone about. You say, I need someone to pray with me. That I'd be able to take that next step, that I'd be able to keep moving forward or keep moving forward with purpose in the direction he's called me. I want to encourage you to come forward. We've got a prayer room available. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to close out our time with singing. Joe?